the little booklet, Decrees for to Keep, and the next title is Personal Evangelism and Christian Service. So that's what we want to look at this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer first. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Just thank you for everyone that came this morning. Thank you that we can get together and worship you and be blessed and encouraged and challenged. Just keep our hearts soft and so that your spirit can work, and pray you to guide us as we look further into your word, in Jesus' name. Personal evangelism and Christian service. We're looking at another personal subject, another heart issue. It seems like some of these ones that we've been looking at are just very much personal and very much a heart issue, for starters. True Christian evangelism and service starts with a changed heart and a personal God-given burden and love for other souls. It's only possible for a person to desire others to be spiritually awakened if they have been themselves already. So, evangelism means the winning or revival of personal commitments to Christ. So when you think about personal evangelism, it has the thought of wanting others to be won to Christ or back to Christ, to a personal commitment to Christ. And the thought of evangelist has a thought of an enthusiastic part. What evangelist means is it means an enthusiastic advocate. I believe that's what it means. And so it has that thought of enthusiasm for the word, for the work. And I believe a true witness for Christ lives his whole life in God's service. It's not just into God's glory. A person can't just plan for certain moments or certain days where you're going to be a witness for Christ and then kind of live the rest of his life for himself. We all know that doesn't work. We're either living for God and we're a witness, our lives are a witness for Christ, or we're not on fire. At the same time, saying that we don't plan for just certain times, but at the same time, I believe it is good to plan for special outreach efforts. That's a good thing. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That's the focus we want to have for life. The ideal Christian life is a life of active service. This was a challenging thought to me. I ran across, this is not what we think naturally. We would naturally think of life, the best life, right? Would be ease, luxury, leisure, when we want it. And of course, working when it suits us, you know. But natural man, we kind of work toward that ease and luxury, possibly more so. But and our flesh tells us that's what the good life is. But God's ideal life for man as Christians is quite different. God gave the first man and woman work to do. They were supposed to dress and keep the garden. And when Jesus lived on this earth, he worked. Very common work. Was a carpenter, and he went about doing good. And the apostles followed in Christ's footsteps, Christ's example. They worked, they did their livelihood, but they had hard lives, I believe, and service-filled lives. Their lives weren't just easy, I wouldn't say, but they were blessed. I believe God's will and blessing lie in Christians living lives of active service. Little quote here. "I was not called. I cannot go, I hear you say. It's not my work. I was not called. Too bad so many die in that way. Too bad so many die that way, without hope, without a God. But here at home I have to stay. But then I hear my Savior say, it was my work to die for you. In heaven I did not please to stay. I came to earth not for a few, but all should know I am the way. I cannot go, I hear you say. My child is small, and he needs all the world can give him today. It would not do to be so cruel to one who cannot choose his way. And then I hear my father say, I gave my son, my only one, to give the world the only way. He suffered all upon the cross. Can you do less for me today? I cannot go, I hear you say. It takes so much of strength and grace. I have no talents to display. My faith is weak. Right here I'll stay. The smart and strong go far away. I hear my Lord and Master say, have you not read within my word? You are vessels made of clay. I choose the weak to give my strength. Let all who will serve me today. I know that was a little bit focused on going somewhere to serve God. I mostly wanted the thought of just being willing to serve God where we're at also. So let's look at the evangelist a little bit. We're looking at evangelism and Christian service. And we usually think of an evangelist as some person that's gifted that way. But I want to look at it this morning as every Christian. I believe every Christian this morning is called to be an evangelist in some way. Let's look at Mark 1:14. This is Christ calling his disciples. Mark chapter 1. And no, we're not apostles today. We're not called physically like these disciples were. But I believe every Christian this morning has a call to spread the word. So in that sense, we're an evangelist, any one of us. Mark 1:14 says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. That was their work. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. So it's just an instance of Christ calling a couple of his disciples, and we see how they dropped what they were doing and followed him. And as we become Christians, we don't maybe receive the call to leave our work necessarily, but we receive that call of God to follow him and become fishers of men, I believe. Acts 1:7. This is Jesus again speaking to his followers, and I believe this includes us. Acts 1:7 said, and he said unto them, this is Jesus, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I believe this verse is for us today also, because it's talking about the uttermost part of the earth. I don't believe the apostles went to the uttermost part of the earth, so I believe that is for us today too, because we have the Holy Ghost also. And God wants us to be witnesses to everywhere in the earth, anyone we meet. So in that way, we are each an evangelist as a Christian. Second Corinthians talks about us being as earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:5. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 says, this is Paul, I believe, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And it goes on to say how they faced difficulties, hard things, but they didn't give up. And my thought with this is, thinking of us each as a evangelist or a witness for Christ, let's not get discouraged from witnessing for Christ and about Jesus just because you or I don't feel perfect in my own life, maybe. None of us are perfect, but let's not stop reaching out, witnessing, loving others, showing them the good news. Let's not wait till we feel perfect to do that. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's look at Isaiah 6. This sort of has the same thought. Speaking of someone that didn't feel qualified or worthy, let's just read Isaiah 6, 1-8. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Then further on it says, verse 8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." So he started out with a vision of God and how holy he was. And he looked at himself and said, "I'm not worthy." He said, I'm undone. But then God did a work in his heart and cleaned his heart. And he was ready to be a witness for Christ. I believe that's the way it is for us today. Every one of us as Christians knows that experience of being cleansed and made ready. No, we're not perfect, but we are ready to spread God's word. Thinking of being a Christian, an evangelist, a Christian worker, we can be ready. We can be used of God. First Peter 3:15 talks about being ready with an answer. Having an answer ready. A scriptural answer for people. Ephesians 6 talks about being prepared. Let's look at that. Ephesians 6:13. This is an interesting verse. I'm still rolling it around in my mind a bit exactly what it means. Ephesians 6:13. It says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So what all does that mean? I'm not exactly sure. But could it mean that we let the gospel work in our own hearts first? We're prepared that way. And also, we study the word, we prepare our hearts to spread the gospel. I believe it can mean both. It'd be fun to know, or interesting to know, what you would get out of that verse yourself. But we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. and we think of our feet in the natural, in the physical sense, we like to have a good pair of shoes on. When we're going out to work or whatever, it's very important what we wear on our feet. And I believe that's how important this is to have, to be prepared with the gospel. The preparation of the gospel of peace. Do I have peace in my own heart? And when we do, we can spread that. We can spread that good news. Thinking of being a Christian worker, a Christian evangelist. Let's let God prepare our hearts, my heart, for his service. And let's hide God's word in our hearts so we can be prepared for that. Let's look at the message a little bit, the good news. John 3:14, very familiar verses. So we are God's messengers. We'll look at that a little bit later. It's God's message, it's God's plan, and we are the messengers. Each Christian here this morning is God's messenger, I believe. John 3:14. And this is part of God's message. I'm not going to look at this very long, but I do want to read this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And we could keep reading. But did you notice how many times it said perish or not perish? Not perish. If we believe, we won't perish. So that's the good news, is without God, without believing in Christ, we will perish. Every person on this earth will perish unless we believe. But God has made a way for us to believe. He's made, Christ came and died for us so that we can believe on him and not perish. That's the good news. As a Christian believer today, as an evangelist, we have that good news to carry. There is a cure for our guilt, the whole world's guilt. You know, I think every person on this earth knows what guilt feels like. So if we're wanting to spread the word and wanting others to find a way, there's common ground. We know what guilt felt like as a sinner. They know what it's all about. And that's where we can start from there and look at the answer for that. There is grace to live above sin. We could look at many verses like that that talk about that. That's part of the good news, is we can live above sin. God has grace for that. We are promised eternal life. Right in here, it talked about everlasting life. When we believe in Christ, we'll have everlasting life. Part of the good news. There is a deeper life to live. There is something more to live for than the here and now. You know, it's easy for us, even as Christians, to get our focus off, like we heard this morning in a thought, where we can get our focus off of God's plan for my life and start focusing on sin or focusing on pleasure or riches or whatever. It's easy for us, even as Christians, to do that. And then we look around at the world around us and we see that's what they're doing. They're actually trying to find fulfillment just in that. And as a Christian worker, as a Christian evangelist, we can show people that there, we can show them the Bible. We can show them there is a different way. There is something deeper to live for. 2 Corinthians 5 again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's every Christian this morning, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There is a lot packed in those two verses. Any person this morning that has believed in Christ, named his name, is a new creature. But God doesn't just clean us up and let us sit. He has a work for us right away. It says he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. In my own words, he's given us the responsibility to take that good news to others. And I would challenge us, myself, and even the young Christians, if you have a chance, don't wait to speak to somebody about what happened to you or what God can do for them. It's powerful to your own life and to others. Ask God for a chance to do that. Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 10:8 talks about that. Jesus was sending out his 12 disciples, I believe, there, and he just told them some instructions, I believe, and he said, freely you have received, freely give. And we could look at that too, but that passage there was more directed at the disciples, I believe, because he was giving them power over maybe sicknesses, and I'm not going to read that, but he told them, freely you have received, freely give. And I believe that still applies to us today. We've been given this free grace, this free eternal life, and God wants us to share it. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Do you and I personally have something we wish we could tell the world? If you could have a mic and tell the whole world something, what would it be? Would it be your faith in God, your trust in his sovereign care for you? Would you like to tell the whole world that the Bible is true, and the reason you know it's true is because you have found its promises true in your own life? Is that what my testimony would be? Would I tell them how God loves them, how he loves me, how he died for me. He died to save me from my sins. Would I tell them about the peace and forgiveness that I have in Christ? I believe as Christians we have that message. We have that witness in our own hearts. We have that peace. We have that joy, that forgiveness. Let's not hide it. I'm speaking to myself. Why am I so slow to just speak out for God? Because it is a huge gift, like we have already heard this morning. It's wonderful. Most of us can probably remember times in our lives when someone touched us in a powerful way. Maybe it was a kind word of encouragement, a warning, a concern, or a simple kind deed from the heart that blessed you. And I believe that is part of being a witness for God. Just living your whole life trying to glorify God by his grace. And I believe it will spread out from that desire. Let's pass that same love and blessing to others, like we have received from maybe your brother, maybe your father and mother, maybe whoever it was. Let's do the same for others. This is a little incident that blessed me. I wasn't sure where to put it in my sermon maybe, but I was at a small cattle auction one day, and there was a man just whistling the tune, I believe it was "It Is Well With My Soul." And that touched me. And I thought, that was so nice. It was comforting. It was challenging to me. He was just whistling away. He wasn't getting paid. It was coming from his heart, I believe. And it was a challenge to me. It spoke to me of someone at peace with life and with God. Let's look a little bit at examples of men in the Bible that witnessed for Christ. Paul speaks to Felix in Acts 24. Acts chapter 24, verse 22. And we know the story. I'm not going to read all of it. But Paul was in prison, and he'd come up for trial once in a while, and this time it was before Felix, Acts 24, verse 22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." I'm not sure what all to bring out of this verse, but it just impressed me. This was before a ruler, kind of a high up person. And look what Paul reasoned with him about. He reasoned with him about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Was Paul not worried what would happen to him if he spoke the truth to him? I don't think that was Paul's worry. It wasn't his focus. He was just sharing what he knew that could help Felix find his way. And I believe, for myself and the rest of us, I'd like to challenge myself with this. I know it takes wisdom, it takes whatever, spirit-led. We have to definitely be spirit-led with love and all that, yes. But let's not be scared to share about God's righteousness, share about judgment to come. I mean, it's coming. Let's do it in love, but let God direct you in that. And then we could look at how John spoke to Herod, another high up person. I'm not going to read that either, but we know John's life, John the Baptist, how he preached about repentance and all that. And he didn't mince his words talking to people. He called them some things I would never call someone, but he was just preaching, trying to get their attention. And then he goes to Herod and tells him that it's wrong to have his brother Philip's wife. And he ended up in prison and died. So today, would we call John too outspoken? What would we call him? I don't know. But he was God's worker. He was witnessing for Christ, and he lost his life doing it. Are you and I willing to go that far with Christ? I want to read Mark 5. This is talking about the demon-possessed man. Thinking of examples of men witnessing for Christ. Mark 5, verse 1. And this is Christ again. And he began to teach by the seaside, there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables and said unto them. I must be in the wrong spot. Sorry, Mark 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken pieces, neither could any man tame him. We know this story down to verse 15. We know how Christ found him and healed him. In verse 15 it says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship that he had been he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. It's an amazing story, a drastic story, of how someone was possessed with a devil, and he got healed, got saved from that. And then Christ said, go home to thy friends and tell them. Go tell them what I did for you. I believe every person here this morning that's a Christian has that same story, only a different story, of course. But Christ had compassion on us, and let's go and tell our friends. Let's go tell our friends what Christ did for us. We could look at the reasons to witness. I maybe won't go there this time. But in 2 Corinthians 5, it talked about the terror of the Lord. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And then it talks about the love of Christ constraining us. As Christians, we know both of that. We believe that God will judge sin. And we also have the love of Christ in our hearts. Let's put the two and two together and take the word to sinners, to the lost about us. Let's not assume that they don't want to know. Let's not assume that they are hardened and won't listen. Let's seek opportunity to advance the kingdom of heaven. In closing, I just have a few thoughts. It is God's good news we share. It's not our own story. Yes, it is our own story as we become Christians, but it's God's good news. It's His plan. It's His word. Yes, we have experienced God's love and forgiveness. We know what that is like. And no, we're not perfect. I like how Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he talked about the people were having discussions about who they wanted to follow or something. And I just like how Paul wrote it. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. My thought here is we all have different gifts, different talents, but let's do what we can, each one of us, to further God's kingdom, to spread God's word. I believe we are like tools in God's toolbox. God gives us different jobs to do. I don't know how. I was thinking about this the other day when I was cleaning out one of my socket sets, and how we are a little like that, a toolbox where some tools you use a lot. And am I in God's toolbox? Am I one of those that I don't get used very often, or am I something that gets used all the time? It doesn't really matter. As long as we are at God's disposal, we are in God's toolbox. We are ready to be used. We all have different gifts. Let's use them for God's glory. Let's let our light shine. Do the people I know, the people you know, do they know what I believe about God? Do they know that I love and follow God? They should. Matthew 5 talks about letting your light shine that they may see your good works and glorify your... I'm going to just read that. Matthew 5, 13. Matthew 5, 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I believe if we have this attitude, God will bless our desire. He will give us chances to speak for Him. And let's take those chances. I believe different ways we can communicate our love, communicate God's love, is just like you young folks did the other day. You're willing to go sing. I believe that is a very powerful way. As you sang at a funeral, especially where people are hurting, I don't believe you realize maybe how powerful that can be. Maybe you do realize it, but it is, I believe, a very powerful way to share God's the good news. We can share it by example, just by being faithful day after day, by sharing what God has done in your life. And I just heard recently another person was preaching. It said, one of his thoughts was, as home builders, today we are in partnership with God, building His kingdom. Maybe this is a little bit of a different thought than being an evangelist, but I believe it fits right alongside. You and your homes, you as parents, as you serve God there and serve your family, godly homes are a very powerful influence in our world today. And think of that as a tool, as a way you can reach the world. Because I believe it is. Just being faithful in your home. A story for closing. Every Saturday evening for over 40 years, a servant of God stood on a certain street corner handing out gospel papers to passerbys. And then he stopped. Discouraged because he saw so little fruit, he abandoned his post. Some years later, he happened on the spot, and a young man stood there and gave him a gospel tract. He stopped, and addressing the young man, he said, "How is it that you are here tonight?" "Well, sir, it is like this. An old man occupied this corner for years. I was saved by means of a tract that he gave me. Evidently, the old man is in heaven now, for I've missed him here, and so I am seeking to fill his place." Tears filled the eyes of the older Christian as the young man thus spoke. "I am the man who gave you that tract," he said, "and by the grace of God, I mean to stand my place until Jesus comes." That was a challenge to me. Let's stand in our place and let's do what we can to serve Christ.